And now a discussion that, a warning, may be tender to some ears in this country, but in China, it has inflamed passionate debate. It's about virginity. Now, that would have been nothing on the hit HBO show Sex and the City, which ran from 1998 to 2004, followed four independent women living in New York through their dating and work adventures. It was raunchy, funny, unconventional.
You're getting engaged!
I threw up. I saw the ring and I threw up. That's not normal.
That's my reaction to marriage.
What did the ring look like?
Well, that's the other thing. The ring was not good.
There's now a new show that's being called The Sex and the City of China, and it has a viewership that's more than 12 times that of Game of Thrones. It's been downloaded 24 billion times. That's billion. It's called Ode to Joy, and it features five millennial women from different walks of life living in Shanghai. It, too, follows their relationships and careers, has been getting attention for taking on taboo topics, sex, sexism, and class. But then this season, this happened.
凡姐,刚才你亲吻我,
okay, what happened? Ying Xu is a professor of media culture focusing on China at the City University of New York, Staten Island. She just returned from a Fulbright fellowship in Shanghai. Hi, Professor.
Hello.
And we also have with you your daughter, Frances Hisgen, about to start college as a freshman at Harvard.
Hello.
Hi. You both returned from 6 months in China, probably glued to the TV like the rest of the country. Professor Ying, start with you. What was happening in that scene? Set this up.
You know, this is the scene in the second season of the show where one of the main characters was dunked by her boyfriend.
Dumped by her
boyfriend because it was revealed by accident that she was not a virgin.
Not a virgin. What did that provoke in China?
Well, this has triggered much online discussion on whether virginity is still a prized asset for women in modern China. And the talk of sex in public might still be a taboo, but I have to say that in private, young people in the big metropolitan centers have adopted a more liberal attitude towards sex and dating. And so granted that chastity before marriage continued to be equated with female virtue in places outside the big cities, I have thought that the loss of virginity is no longer perceived as such a stigma.
Well, Frances, how did your friends view this? I mean, this young woman, Chou Yingying?
Yes, Chou Yingying. Well, my friends and I in Shanghai were also kind of shocked that this had become a plot point, because it seemed in big metropolitan cities like Shanghai, Beijing, and Guangzhou, where a lot of millennials come from inland China and migrate to work, not being a virgin before marriage is something that's very normal, but it's important to keep in mind that this show has a viewership that spans all of China, and across the country, especially in inland China, attitudes towards virginity are very different.
Well, and it wasn't just the attitude towards virginity, it was her virginity. You know, his was not questioned, and in some of the reading that I've done, some of the young people in China were saying, well, wait a second, what about him, you know? Professor, give me a little context here. Are people allowed to make these television programs in China completely free from any state involvement? In other words, is this the producers bringing this up, or is this reflecting the state?
Right. I think the answer to the question is yes and no. You know, a lot of time there's a certain amount of self-censorship involved, so the TV producers know what the boundaries are, and they know how not to cross that boundary. And on the other hand, they do also very much want to tap into the popular sentiment. Maybe we can actually talk about the lineage of this show.
Please.
Sort of talk about the pink drama.
The pink drama.
Right.
Is that what it's called?
Yes, it's what it's called. It's a part of the lineage of pink drama. Ode to Joy, which came out last spring, has its lineage to the so-called pink drama, which refers to a new breed of a female-centered contemporary Chinese urban TV drama, which was itself inspired and heavily influenced by Sex in the City. And similar to Sex in the City, Chinese pink drama focuses on characters' personal lives. And the arrival of pink drama marked a real decisive shift from earlier women's dramas, the so-called virtuous wives and good mothers.
So it was more about how they related to their husbands and taking care of their children.
That's right. And the first Chinese pink drama was Pink Ladies. That's where the name actually came from, which came out in 2003, followed by Falling in Love, which came out in 2004, just as Sex in the City was wrapping up.
So these shows, you know, which we see as being maybe 10, 20 years behind American television shows are expressing advances, it sounds like. And Frances, I'm just wondering, with your sense of history, you know, we hear that under communism, actually, women have made strides. I mean, what is the saying?
Women hold up half the sky.
Half the sky. So what is your feeling? Put this in context, because here you are now about to study in the U.S. What's your sense of the progress that's been made?
My sense is women have made incredible progress with the careers that are open to them. But in the family sphere, in the domestic sphere, there is very much the ideal of a heterosexual marriage with one child previously, now two children. That once you hit your 30s, or even your early 20s, you feel this pressure to marry, to settle down.
Well, I understand that the state considers women 27 or older and unmarried leftover women?
Leftover women. Leftover women, one of the other phrases they use is, are like yellowed pearls, these women who hit their late 20s without being married.
Oh boy.
So one of my good friends in Beijing, she's 24. She's a successful news producer. But she migrated to Beijing from a city in inland China, and she already feels, at just 24, the incredible pressure from her family to get married, to not focus on her career so much, but to focus on finding someone to settle down with, buying an apartment, and then having children.
So where does this show fit in? On the one hand, it's centered around women. It's Pink. You know, it's centered around women. It's moved from there being just wives and mothers to having these lives. But then, at least now, we don't know what's going to happen in the next, you know, season, but at least for now, it has a man walk away from a woman because she's not a virgin.
Yeah, it's interesting. I think Auto Joy continues this kind of trajectory of Pink drama, but has returned to a more conservative or conformative outlook concerning a gender role. And the drama depicts five women from different walks of life with a common yearning for marriage. And I remembered when Falling in Love came out, a decade ago, one Chinese viewer pointed out that if Sex in the City portrays four independent women looking for love, Falling in Love portrays four marriage-seeking women pretending to be independent. Yeah. But by the time we get to Ode to Joy, 12, 15 years later, the independent streak is gone.
Well, that's
kind of interesting.
Yeah, well, that's how some Americans felt about Sex and the City, by the way. They did not think it was liberating. They thought it was imprisoning.
That's also interesting, precisely. And so the question is, what has transpired over the past decade?
It seems like there's a collision course here. I mean, Frances, doesn't it? You're nodding.
It very much seems like there is, because so many of my good friends in Beijing who are around my age or slightly older, so early 20s, they've studied abroad in the West. They've made very good friends within expat communities in these big cities in China. But I feel that they've had a cultural shift with everything else shifting towards more modern lives with different options for how to form their families. But I don't feel, maybe 5 to 10 years later, China changes so fast, but I don't feel that anything other than the so-called nuclear family is what's in the aspiration for my Chinese friends around my age. Whereas growing up in this country, I've never really felt, as an 18-year-old, the pressure to form a traditional family unit.
Not so soon.
Not so soon.
Right. Well, stay tuned, because it'll be interesting to see. I understand that there's some promos for the next season, and it might be that this boyfriend, Ying Sheng, who had this exchange with a friend of his girlfriend, he says, "How can I trust that a person who disgraces herself has the ability to love me?" And the friend says, "Do you consider it disgraceful to have sex before marriage?" And so we're on that cliffhanger. Does he come back to her? I mean, Professor, what would it mean if he comes back to her, if he accepts her?
This show is a seasonal show, which is very different from the majority of the Chinese television dramas, which are scheduled differently. They run every night. So the beauty of a seasonal show is it can really check the temperature of contemporary society. So it responds to the dialogue. So there's interaction there.
Yeah.
So if they see the outrage from, the female viewers, they will respond. So I wouldn't be surprised if the boyfriend turns around and returns.
Frances, are your friends hanging on pins and needles?
I'd say so. And some of my friends not from China are also on pins and needles. It's one of the most popular Chinese dramas here in the U.S.
What else do you take from the show, Frances?
I think it's very interesting, the types of careers portrayed in this show. It seems, well, Andy, the most conventionally successful character, is a CFO at a corporation in China. And it seems that it's reflecting a real change in career aspirations among young people right now, that the preferred job is at a Fortune 500 company. and if you can't find that, at another foreign company, and then as an absolute last resort, at a state-owned enterprise, which is a huge shift from even 5 to 10 years ago, where working at a state-owned conglomerate was really the best thing you could do coming out of college.
Well, another way we see that reflected is that 8 of the 10 wealthiest women in the world are from China.
Yes, and this show has an impressive display of consumerism, of handbags, of luxury cars. And I think it really reflects the wealth that young Chinese women are gaining and the premium purchasing power that they have in the country.
Which explains why you have all these shows coming out, because they are, you know, targeted consumers.
They have ads.
Their quality, you know, demographics.
Yeah. Frances Hisgen, about to go to school here in the U.S. Her mom, Professor Ying Zhu, a professor of media culture at the City University of New York at Staten Island. Professor Frances, thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks.